بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الدرس الحادي عشر. الحادي عشر means the 11th. الدرس الحادي عشر, the 11th lesson. This lesson, we notice in the beginning of a passage. This passage consists of about 5 or so paragraphs. This passage more or less ties up what we have done so far, and it forms a break in the textbook where what we've done until now forms the foundation of what is to come later, and what comes later will be building upon this foundation. Therefore, I would advise the students to make sure that they have understood what has been done so far and pay attention to the important points, and especially the extra audio that was done at the end of lesson 10 to do with the past tense verbs, to make sure that you have done that and understood that as well. In this lesson, there are more or less only 2 somewhat new matters, and therefore what I'm going to do is a little bit different to what we normally do. In this first audio recording, I'll explain the 2 new principles introduced in this class in the 11th lesson. And then there are only 2 exercises which are not very long. I will do the exercises immediately after this, because these two exercises demonstrate the 2 principles that I'm about to explain anyway. Once we finish the tadribat of this lesson, the tamarin, the exercises of this lesson, along with explanation of the principles, then in the next recording for the 11th lesson, I will come back to the passage, Beiti, my house, and we'll go through that passage with its meanings and reading it as well. The reason I'm doing it separately, that passage, is so the people can listen to it more than once, because that passage, as I said, ties up everything that we have done, or a lot of what we've done so far, which is the foundation of the level 1 course. And in fact, it's the foundation of the Arabic that you will study in the future. Therefore, that passage is very important, and it's very useful for you to be listening to that passage repeatedly in audio, and not only that, to read it from the book yourself and understand it. If you can understand this passage and not only understand, be able to make sentences like that yourself, then the rest of this hereafter will be more or less building upon this for the rest of this book 1. Yes, there will be new things, but the foundation is what we've done so far. So again, in the second recording, I'm going to read the passage and explain it such that you can re-listen to it a few times. Therefore, I won't talk a lot more in English. In this passage are 2 new principles that are introduced in this lesson, followed by the 2 exercises, each of which demonstrates each of the 2 principles. The first of the 2 principles introduced in this exercise, we've done something similar to this before, is the harf al-jar. We have done so far the damir, the pronouns, where we said kitabuhu, who means his, book of his, kitabuha, book of hers. Likewise, we said al-mudiru ma'ahu al-mudarrisu, meaning the principal ma'ahu al-mudarrisu, with him is the teacher. So ma'ahu means with him. And also, al-mudarrisatu ma'aha al-talibatu, meaning the teacher, ma'aha al-talibatu, meaning the student is with her. The teacher, al-mudarrisatu ma'aha al-talibatu, with her is the student. So the way we've seen ma'ahu, ma'aha, and kitabuhu, kitabuha, now we see also fihi and fiha. Fihi, we've done fi is harf al-jar, meaning in or inside. Fi is harf al-jar, meaning in or inside. Now, after the fi comes a word that becomes majrur with a kasra. Here, the word happens to be just a one-letter pronoun, damir, which is hu, fi, he. And this he is what we've done before in kitabuhu, qalamuhu, baytuhu, and so on. Except, as I had mentioned earlier in the recording, the explanation of lesson 10 in the beginning, because fi ends with a kasra e sound, it's just easy in pronunciation, instead of saying fihu, to say fihi. So merely for the ease of pronunciation, we say fihi, although the damir it changes no grammatical value from who to he. It's still the same dhamir with no change at all. The who to he, the dhamma to kasra, is merely to facilitate the pronunciation, because the who, the dhamir here, is coming after a kasra, so it's just easy to say he, fi he, meaning in it or in her. Sorry, in him or in it. Fi he. Example of that, man fil bayti, man fil bayti, man who, fil bayti, in the house, man fil bayti, who is in the house? The answer, fihi hamidun, fihi hamidun, fihi, in it, is hamidun. Fihi hamidun, we could well have said, fil bayti hamidun, fil bayti hamidun. Instead of al bayt, we just use the pronoun damir, which is who. So we say fihi hamidun, in it is hamid. The next example, fiha. We said fihi with the mudhakkar damir, with the damir for mudhakkar, the pronoun for the masculine, who, meaning him or it for a masculine object. Now we say fiha, and we're using the damir ha, the pronoun ha, meaning hers, her. And this is for a female person or a feminine object. Fiha, in her or in it for a female object. So fiha, an example sentence using that. Mada, mada is what? Mada, what? Mada fil haqibati, what is in the bag? Mada fil haqibati. Answer, fiha kitabi. Fiha kitabi. Kitabi is of course my book. Kitab, e, e for mine, book of mine. Kitabi, my book. Fiha kitabi, meaning fil haqibati kitabi. Fil haqibati kitabi. Instead of repeating al haqiba, because in the question it's already there, mada fil haqibati, instead of repeating fil haqibati kitabi, we simply use the pronoun damir for al haqiba, which is ha, meaning her for a feminine object. Fiha kitabi. Mada fil haqibati? Fiha kitabi. This is the first of the points for this lesson. Exercise 1 that will come in a minute will be referring to this. Let's have a quick look at the second principle that is introduced in this lesson. And that is the verb uhibbu. Uhibbu. Uhibbu is a fi'l mudari'. Until now, we have only seen al-fi'l al-madi, which are past tense verbs. And of course, we've also seen in the when we read the questions, and the question says iqra' waktub, iqra' and uktub, read and write, are fi'l al-amr, command verbs. So we've seen fi'l al-madi, past tense verbs, like dhahaba, kharaja, jalasa, or jalastu, kharajtu, and we've seen fi'l al-amr, iqra' uktub, da', and so on. They end with sukun. Now we have a look at a fi'l al-mudari'. Al-fi'l al-mudari' is fi'l al-mudari' is a verb whose action is not yet completed. It's either continuous or it happens periodically. So it might be something that is happening every second, every minute, such as the water is falling. Or it might be something that happens periodically, such as the man goes to the masjid for each salah 5 times a day, day after day. Both of these are al-fi'l al-mudari'. So in Arabic you have al-fi'l al-madi, past tense verb, whose action is completed. Or you have instead al-fi'l al-mudari', whose action is not yet completed, whether it's continuous or done periodically. And third, you have fi'l al-amr, the command verb. فعل الأمر often usually finishes with a sukun. فعل الماضي for the third person, meaning he did something, finishes with a fatha. فعل المضارع for he is doing something, usually finishes with a dhamma. Not always, but usually finishes with a dhamma. Here we introduce to simply one فعل المضارع without really going into much depth at all. So for the time being, I'll keep it superficial the way it is being dealt with in this lesson, because later on we will come back to it in much more detail. The first of the sentence I want you to have a look at is uhibbu أبي وأمي. أحب أبي وأمي. أحب is فعل المضارع. And it means أحب, it means I love or I like. I love or I like. أحب, I love, I like. أحب أبي وأمي means أحب, I love, أبي, my father, وأمي, my mother. I love my father and my mother. أحب أبي وأمي. The next sentence, it says, this is in the summary sheet that I'm reading from. The next sentence in the summary sheet reads, أحب الله. أحب الله. You would have guessed the answer. Just like we said, أحب أبي is I love my father. أحب الله means I love Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love Allah. Now notice, we're saying أحب, which is فعل مضارع, I love. And then notice it finishes with a dhamma, أحب. And the first letter, alif or hamza, signifies that it's me that is the doer of the action. Uhibbu means I love. Tuhibbu means you love. And yuhibbu with a ya in the beginning means he loves. However, this we will come to later. This is just for you to be aware of what changes come about later on. Uhibbu, I love, Allah means I love Allah. Now notice, who is a doer of this doer of the action of uhibbu? I am, meaning I am the one who loves. So I love, and the doer of the action is denoted by the alif or hamza right in the beginning. Now we are left with who the action is done to, meaning the action of the verb is to love. So who and the doer of the action is I. So I love, but who do I love? So the action of love, the action of this verb that it is done upon or done to, that when we mention the name of that person, we put a fatha at the end of it. So we say, أحب الله. Allah has a fatha at the end because that is who we love. So the doer of the action is indicated by the U, the Hamza in the beginning. And the one to whom the action is done to or upon is indicated by a fatha at the end. Therefore, we say Allah. We do not put a dhamma at the end, we put a fatha at the end. So we say Uhibbullah. I love Allah. Likewise, you can also say Uhibbu. Uhibbu means I love. Uhibbu al-Qur'an. Uhibbu al-Qur'an. I love the Qur'an. Now notice, Al-Qur'an is the object, Al-Qur'an is what we love. So the action of the verb is I love, the action is done upon the Qur'an. So whatever the action is done upon, it is called maf'ulun bihi. Maf'ulun bihi, meaning the action is done to it, or using it, or on it, and so on. So the maf'ulun bihi, which is what the action of the verb is done to or on, you indicate that by putting a fatha at the end. Remember, the doer of the action, if it is mentioned explicitly, you put a dhamma at the end. But here the doer of the action is not stated explicitly. It's understood implicitly in the alif in the beginning of uhibbu. Whereas the action done upon maf'ulun bihi, that word, al-Qur'an, is indicated by a fatha at the end. So we say uhibbu al-Qur'an. Before that we said uhibbu Allah. We also said uhibbu abi, I love my father. So ab finishes with a fatha too, but because there is a ya after it, the fatha it disappears, meaning you put a kasra on the ba because that suits the ya that you are pronouncing after it. That's why we said uhibbu abi. Otherwise there is a fatha there on ummi and abi. Uhibbu Allah, uhibbu al-Qur'ana. Al-Qur'ana maf'ulun bihi, the action of the verb done upon it, we indicate that with a fatha. This of fi'l al-mudari' we will come to it later on. Just now for you to just have a window into what is to come, remember uhibbu, I love, is fi'l mudari'. For you love, we changed the letter of the very first letter and we said tuhibbu. The ta denotes you doing that fi'l mudari' action. Yuhibbu, he is loving, meaning he is that doer, so you put ya. This is how fi'l mudari' works, and it usually ends as a default with a dhamma. And the doer of the action is shown implicitly in the uhibbu, tuhibbu, yuhibbu, the first letter. But the action done upon, maf'ulun bihi, it comes after the verb and you put on it a fatha at the end. And any word that has a fatha at the end is called mansub. Mansub is a word that ends in a fatha. And the maf'ulun bihi al-Qur'ana, the action done upon, ends with a fatha. Uhibbu al-Qur'ana, uhibbu Allah. Now, let's go to the two tamareen that are there in al-Dars al-Hadi Ashar, in the 11th lesson. Al-Tamreen al-Awwal, it asks you to do iqra' wa uktub. Iqra' wa uktub. Iqra' ends with a sukun, so you know it's a fi'l amr, it's a order, command verb. Wa and uktub again ends with a sukun, so you know that is a command verb as well. Iqra' means read, uktub means write. It's telling you to read these sentences and write them as well. Make sure you do both of them because there is a benefit in further reinforcement as you write, and of course it helps the writing as well. Let's look at the five sentences that are there. Al-jumlatul ula, the first sentence. Man fi hadha al-bayti? Man fi hadha al-bayti? Man who fi in hadha al-bayt? This house. Who is in this house? Man fi hadha al-bayti? Fihi hamidun. Fihi hamidun. Fihi, in it, is hamid. Fihi hamidun. Fihi is like, originally it's fil bayti. Fil bayti hamidun. But why repeat the whole bayt again? Simply use the pronoun, the damir. So you say fihi hamidun. Man fi hadha al-bayti, fihi hamidun. ماذا في الحقيبة? What is in the bag? ماذا في الحقيبة? What is in the bag? فيها كتابي. In her or in it is my book. كتابي, my book. Why are we saying فيها? Because ها is the pronoun for her or a feminine object. الحقيبة finishes with a تاء مربوطة, therefore it is a feminine مؤنث word. Because it's مؤنث feminine, we use the ضمير for feminine, which is ها. So we say فيها كتابي, in it is my book. And the whole sentence reads ماذا في الحقيبة فيها كتابي وقلمي ودفتري. فيها كتابي وقلمي ودفتري. In it is my book and my pen and my exercise book. ماذا في الحقيبة فيها كتابي وقلمي ودفتري. The emphasis here is on فيها and فيه. How you join the حرف الجر في with a ضمير after it, which is ضمير for مذكر, which is he, or ضمير for مؤنث, which is ها. Next sentence, الجملة الثالثة. من في السيارة? من في السيارة? Who is in the car? فيها, in her, meaning in the car, in it. فيها أبي وأمي وأخي وأختي. In it, meaning in the car, is or are أبي وأمي وأخي وأختي. In the car are, or in it are, my father and my mother and my brother and my sister. Notice in Arabic, when you list my father and my mother and my brother and my sister, when you list, you don't just put a comma, you must put an and, wa, in between each of the items of the list. Man fi sayyarati, as-sayyaratu finishes with a ta marbuta, it is mu'annath, therefore we come with the damir for mu'annath, which is ha, and we say fiha abi wa ummi wa akhi wa ukhti. The next jumla, من في مسجد الجامعة الآن. من في مسجد الجامعة الآن. من هو في إن مسجد الجامعة is مضاف مضاف إليه. Masjid of the university, mosque of the university. من في مسجد الجامعة الآن. Who is in the mosque of the university right now? The mosque is masjid, is مذكر. So that's why we use a damir of mudhakkar referring to the mosque. So we use the damir, which is the ha, meaning who. That's why here it says ma fihi ahadun. Ma fihi ahadun. Fihi, in it. In it, the he, the damir, It is returning to masjid. The damir is returning and pointing and referring to the masjid. Ma fihi. Ma is simply for negation. Fihi, in it, ahadun means anyone. Ahadun, anyone. Ma fihi ahadun, there is no one inside it. Ma fihi ahadun, there is no one inside it. Man fi masjid al-jami'ati al-ana, ma fihi ahadun. Imagine, you could make more sentences of this type. Man fi sayyarati, ma fihi ahadun. Man fi al-bayti, ma fihi ahadun. The next sentence, man fi hadhihi al-ghurfati, man fi hadhihi al-ghurfati, who is in hadhihi al-ghurfati, this room, who is in this room. What are we referring to here? Hadhihi al-ghurfa, and that is mu'annath, that's feminine, so we will use a damir for feminine, which is ha. So we reply by saying fiha al-mudiru, in her, meaning in the room, in it is the principal. Fiha al-mudiru, in it is the principal. Man fi hadhihi al-ghurfati, who is in this room? Fiha al-mudiru, in it is the principal. I'll read these sentences again, and notice how we use the damir for mudhakkar, he, or damir for mu'annath, ha, joined to the harf al-jar fi. Man fi hadha al-bayti, fihi hamidun. Mada fi al-haqibati, fiha kitabi wa qalami wa daftari. Man fi al-sayyarati, fiha abi wa ummi wa akhi wa ukhti. Man fi masjid al-jami'ati al-ana. Man fi masjid al-jami'ati al-ana. Ma fihi ahadun. ما فيه أحد. من في هذه الغرفة؟ من في هذه الغرفة؟ فيها المدير. فيها المدير. The origin of this is المدير فيها. المدير is مبتدا, therefore it has a ضمة. Any مبتدا, remember, has a ضمة. المدير فيها. The principal is in it. So we just brought the fiha before al-mudiru, and that's perfectly fine to change it around in pronunciation or in writing, but grammatically it makes no difference. Fiha al-mudiru. Let's move to at-tamrin al-thani, the second exercise, and this second exercise simply gives us examples of the fi'l mudari' uhibbu, I love, that we just had a look at earlier. And this just gives us simple examples of this, and we will retouch upon this later on in the future lessons and also in extra classes that I will be doing for fi'l madi and fi'l mudari' as we go along with extra audio. And the purpose is, by the end of this level 1, the student be familiar with the fi'l madi and fi'l mudari' at least to a reasonable extent. This tamreen, it asks the student to the following. It says iqra', and iqra', is that a fi'l madi, a past tense verb? No, because a past tense verb would end with a fatha, so iqra' ends with a sukun. So the past tense verb would have been qara'a. Qara'a, he read. Qara'a, he read. Is this a fi'l mudari' iqra'? No, it's not a fi'l mudari', because fi'l mudari' often ends with a dhamma, and it begins with either a full hamza or ta or ya or na, and this does not end with, doesn't begin with any of those, nor does it end with a dhamma. It begins, iqra', begins with a hamzatul wasl and not with a full normal hamza, iqra', and ends with a sukun. So it's not a fi'l madi, past tense verb, it's not a fi'l mudari', present tense verb, but it is the third type in Arabic, which is fi'lul amr, the command verb. Iqra', read. Al-jumlatul ula, the first sentence, uhibbu abi wa ummi, means I love my father and my mother. Uhibbu abi wa ummi. Next sentence, uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. Uhibbu أخي my brother و and أختي my sister. أحب أخي وأختي. I love my brother and my sister. The next sentence. أحب زميلي. I love my colleague, my classmate. أحب زميلي. زميلي is مضاف مضاف إليه again, meaning the colleague of mine. أحب زميلي. I love my colleague. The next sentence. أحب أستاذي. أحب أستاذي. I love my teacher. أحب أستاذي. أستاذ is the teacher. أستاذي is مضاف مضاف إليه, meaning teacher of mine. أستاذي, my teacher. أحب أستاذي. In all these four sentences, أحب was the فعل مضارع. The doer of the action was implicit in the فعل مضارع, and that is indicated by the Hamza in the beginning of it, meaning I. And then what comes after the فعل مضارع is the مفعولٌ به. مفعولٌ به meaning the whatever or whoever the action of the verb is done upon or to. So the action here is to love. The مفعولٌ به is the one who is loved by the doer of the action. أحب أبي وأمي. I love my father and my mother. أبي is the مفعولٌ به. أحب أخي. I love my brother. أخي is مفعول به. أحب زميلي. I love my colleague. زميل, he is the مفعول به, the one who I love. مفعول به, the one who the action of loving is done to. أحب أستاذي. I love my teacher. Again, where is the مفعول به, the one who the action of the verb to love is done to? It is of course the أستاذ. So أحب أستاذي. أستاذ is the مفعول به. All these مفعولين به have a fatha at the end of the word of the مضاف, but because it's got a مضاف إلي immediately after the fatha, and مضاف إلي is the ضمير E, so that E forces the A before it to disappear and instead to have a كسرة before as well. That's why the زميلة, and after that E, the A disappears and it becomes زميلي, and أستاذ E. أستاذ, it finishes with a fatha, but because of the E immediately after, it forces the fatha into a kasra for facilitating the pronunciation, for ease of pronunciation. So we say أحب أستاذي, even though at the end of أستاذ is a fatha مقدرة, meaning is a fatha that we understand it to be there, but it doesn't show up in pronunciation because of the E that follows immediately after it. The next two sentences, the fatha on the maf'ulun bihi does show up because there is no e or ya after it. The fifth sentence, uhibbullaha, I love Allah. Allah, the scholars when they talk in Arabic about the word Allah, they refer to it as lafzu al-jalala. Lafzu al-jalala, lafz meaning the word. Lafz means the word. Al-jalala meaning of grandeur and magnificence. Lafzul jalala, word of magnificence, word of grandeur. And that is referring to Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now instead of us saying Allah has a fatha on it, that is of course disrespectful and wrong to say, we say the lafzul jalala has a fatha at the end of it. Lafzul Jalala, meaning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said that word, Lafzul Jalala, the word of magnificence, it has a fatha at the end of it. So we say, Uhibbullaha, here the Lafzul Jalala, Allah, it is the maf'ulun bihi, and it has a fatha at the end, because that is what the action is done to. The action of the verb, I love, is done to Lafzul Jalala, meaning to the one who it's referring to, which is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love Allah. So therefore Allah finishes with a fatha. أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ. The next and last sentence, أُحِبُّ النَّبِيَّ. أُحِبُّ النَّبِيَّ. I love the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي, the Prophet. And النبي here, that word, النبي is the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ. أُحِبُّ, I love. Who do I love? The one I do the action of loving to, that is the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, and مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ will have fatha at the end. Here, maf'ulun bihi is an-nabi, the prophet, and therefore it has fatha at the end. So we say, uhibbu an-nabiyya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uhibbu an-nabiyya, I love the prophet. And this is how the fi'l mudari' works. And this is, notice that it, as we said earlier, it finishes with a dhamma as a default. And the fa'il is usually mentioned in the first letter, and it indicates who the fa'il, the doer of the action, is. In uhibbu, it's got hamza, meaning I am the doer of the action. If I said tuhibbu, it means you love. If I say yuhibbu, it means he loves, and so on. So uhibbu contains the verb, and it indicates who the fa'il, the doer of the verb, is. And after that fi'l mudari' comes the maf'ulun bihi, the one to whom the action is done upon or to, and the maf'ulun bihi ends with a fatha, and the fatha is right at the end of the word. This is the end of the tamreen of lesson 11. Now, after this will follow a recording of the passage of lesson 11, and the passage of lesson 11, as I said, it is very important because it ties up what we have done and all the rules we've done in the past 10 lessons. Just about every single rule, or all the major rules of the past 10 lessons, are tied up in this. So therefore, in the next recording, I'm going to explain the passage and then read it again for you to be able to listen to it a few times. These two tamreen are also important, especially about the fi'l mudari', so make sure you go and revisit this recording and listen to the fi'l mudari', because this book of level 1 does not do much of fi'l madi and fi'l mudari'. However, I'm going to do a fair bit of fi'l madi and fi'l mudari' in lesson 1 to make sure that by the end of level 1, the students are able to speak and communicate at least using the basic verbs and nouns as well. So that's why this lesson's, the end of it, about fi'l mudari', is very important for you to understand. Wa lillahi alhamd wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah.